This episode of the OrthoBullets podcast will go over the topic of radial nerve, from the nerves of the upper extremity subsection under the anatomy topic on orthobullets.com. So in this episode, we'll go over the innervation, origin, course, as well as injury and clinical conditions related to the radial nerve. So starting with innervation, the motor portion of the radial nerve includes the radial nerve proper and the PIN. The radial nerve proper provides motor innervation to the triceps, anconeus, ECRL, ECRB, and brachioradialis. The PIN provides motor innervation to the extensor digitorum, the supinator, the extensor digiti minimi, the extensor carpi ulnaris, the abductor pollicis longus, the extensor pollicis longus, the extensor pollicis brevis, and the extensor indicis proprius. So again, the radial nerve proper provides motor innervation to the triceps, the anconeus, the ECRL, ECRB, and brachioradialis. The PIN provides motor innervation to the extensor digitorum, the supinator, the EDM, the ECU, the APL, the EPL, the EPB, and the EIP. The sensory portion of the radial nerve includes the posterior cutaneous nerve of the arm, the posterior cutaneous nerve of the forearm, the superficial branch of the radial nerve, and the dorsal digital branch. As far as the origin of the radial nerve, it originates from the posterior cord of the brachial plexus, that is C5 to T1, and specifically is behind the axillary artery. As far as the course of the radial nerve, it courses on the posterior wall of the axilla, on the subscapularis, latissimus dorsi, and the teres major, and there are three branches in the axilla, the posterior cutaneous nerve of the arm, the branch to the long head of the triceps, and the branch to the medial head of the triceps. It then runs through the triangular interval with the profunda brachii artery in the posterior compartment between the long head of the triceps and the humerus. Next, it courses through the spiral groove between the lateral and medial heads of the triceps. The bottom line is that the safe zone is posteriorly of 10 centimeters distal to the lateral acromion and 10 centimeters proximal to the lateral epicondyle. The radial nerve branches in the spiral groove, and these branches include the inferior lateral cutaneous nerve of the arm, the posterior cutaneous nerve of the forearm, the branch to the lateral head of the triceps, and the branch to the medial head of the triceps and anconeus. Next, it passes through the lateral intermuscular septa, never less than 7.5 centimeters above the distal articular surface. It then runs between the brachialis and brachioradialis anterior to the lateral epicondyle. It gives branches to supply the lateral brachialis, brachioradialis, ECRL, and ECRB. Finally, at the level of the radiohumeral joint line, it divides into the terminal branches, which include the superficial sensory branch, the deep branch slash PIN, and the ECRB branch. So again, to quickly go over the course of the radial nerve, it courses on the posterior wall of the axilla, on the subscapularis, latissimus dorsi, and the teres major, and the three branches in the axilla include the posterior cutaneous nerve of the arm, branch to the long head of the triceps, and the branch to the medial head of the triceps. It then runs through the triangular interval with the profunda brachii artery in the posterior compartment between the long head of the triceps and the humerus. Next, it courses through the spiral groove between the lateral and medial heads of the triceps. The bottom line is that the safe zone is posteriorly of 10 centimeters distal to the lateral acromion and 10 centimeters proximal to the lateral epicondyle. The radial nerve branches in the spiral groove, and these branches include the inferior lateral cutaneous nerve of the arm, the posterior cutaneous nerve of the forearm, the branch to the lateral head of the triceps, and the branch to the medial head of the triceps and the anconeus. Next, it passes through the lateral intermuscular septa, never less than 7.5 centimeters above the distal articular surface. It runs between the brachialis and brachioradialis, anterior to the lateral epicondyle. It gives branches to supply the lateral brachialis, brachioradialis, ECRL, and ECRB. Finally, at the level of the radiohumeral joint line, it divides into terminal branches, including the superficial sensory branch, the deep branch slash the PIN, and the ECRB branch. As far as injury and clinical conditions involving the radial nerve, the ones to know include PIN compression syndrome and radial tunnel syndrome. To learn more about these syndromes, review the topics on the OrthoBullets website or app, or listen to the podcast episodes. Okay, so now that we've gone over the major points about this topic, let's go over a few questions to apply the information and get a sense of how this topic has been tested on past exams. The first question reads, a 24-year-old male was involved in a motorcycle crash and sustained a displaced distal one-third humeral shaft fracture. In the trauma bay, it was noted that the patient could not extend his wrist. What artery runs with his injured nerve? And the choices are 1, profunda brachii artery, 2, posterior circumflex humeral artery, 3, scapular circumflex artery, 4, brachial artery, and 5, lateral thoracic artery. The correct answer to this question is 1, profunda brachii artery. So the patient in the question stem has a Holstein-Lewis fracture, or a fracture of the distal one-third of the humeral shaft associated with neuropraxia of the radial nerve. The profunda brachii artery runs with the radial nerve. To quickly review, the profunda artery and the radial nerve exit the triangular interval between the long head of the triceps and the humerus and travel in the spiral groove distally. The nerve crosses the spiral groove and pierces the intermuscular septa 7.5 centimeters proximal to the elbow joint. In this region, the nerve is at risk of injury during humeral shaft fractures. A radial nerve palsy would present with an inability to extend the wrist, thumb, and fingers. The vast majority, that is 80 to 90% of radial nerve injuries in the setting of humeral shaft fractures recover with expectant management, and as such, radial nerve injury is not an indication for operative management. Rutgers and Ring reviewed 49 diaphyseal humerus fractures treated non-operatively. They reported that non-union was achieved in 44 or 90%, while 4 of 14 or 29% proximal third fractures, 1 of 22 or 4% of the middle third, and no distal third fractures went on to non-union. They concluded that proximal third long oblique fractures are at a high risk for non-union when treated without surgery. Westrick et al. Reviewed 296 patients with humeral shaft fractures, 69 of which were treated with a brace, and 227 which received surgery. They found that non-operative management resulted in a higher non-union rate, that is 23.2% versus 10.2%, despite higher energy mechanisms in the fixation cohort. The authors noted no difference in time to union was noted, and that nerve palsy was more common in the surgical group, that is 39% versus 20%. Nachev et al. Reviewed 373 patients with humeral shaft fractures, of which 43 had an associated radial nerve palsy. Of the 17 radial nerve palsies included at final follow-up, the authors noted that 13 were present preoperatively and that 10 of these recovered and 3 did not by the mean final 26-month follow-up. Of the 3 patients who did not recover, upon surgical exploration, 2 had gross damage and 1 had a nerve contusion and a history of spinal muscular atrophy. Of the 4 postoperative radial nerve palsies, 2 fully recovered and 2 partially. The authors noted that more fracture displacement and higher grade open wounds were associated with radial nerve palsies. To quickly go over the incorrect answers, answer 2, the posterior circumflex humeral artery, is incorrect, as this runs with the axillary nerve in the quadrangular space. Answer 3, the scapular circumflex artery, is incorrect, as this runs in the triangular space without a major nerve. Answer 4, the brachial artery, is incorrect, as this runs on the medial aspect of the arm in close proximity to the ulnar and median nerves. And finally, answer 5, lateral thoracic artery, is incorrect, as this stems from the axillary artery and follows the lower border of the pectoralis minor, supplying the serratus anterior muscle. Moving on to the next question. During recovery for a radial nerve palsy, what is the last muscle to be re-innervated? And the choices are 1, brachioradialis, 2, extensor indicis proprius, 3, extensor carpi radialis brevis, 4, abductor pollicis longus, and 5, extensor pollicis longus. The correct answer to this question is 2, extensor indicis proprius. So the last muscle to demonstrate evidence of reinnervation during recovery for a radial nerve palsy is the extensor indicis proprius. Abrams et al. Dissected 20 cadavers to identify the motor branches of the radial nerve. They determined the innervation order from proximal to distal was brachioradialis, extensor carpi radialis longus, supinator, extensor carpi radialis brevis, extensor digitorum communis, extensor carpi ulnaris, extensor digiti quinti, abductor pollicis longus, extensor pollicis longus, extensor pollicis brevis, and extensor indicis proprius. And moving on to the final question, a 21-year-old man sustains multiple gunshot wounds to his right upper extremity. He cannot extend his digits or his thumb, but can extend and radially deviate his wrist. An injury to the radial nerve or one of its branches has most likely occurred at which of the following locations? And the choices are 1, spiral groove of the humerus, 2, midshaft of the radius, 3, radial neck, 4, anatomic neck of the humerus, and 5, surgical neck of the humerus. The correct answer to this question is 3, radial neck. So in this patient, the radial nerve is most likely injured at the level of the radial neck. The radial nerve emerges from the posterior cord of the brachial plexus and travels along the spiral groove of the humerus. At the level of the lateral humeral condyle, the radial nerve branches into the posterior interosseous nerve after giving off 2 cutaneous branches, the superficial radial and the posterior cutaneous. The posterior interosseous nerve travels through the supinator muscle and winds around the radial neck. At this level, the posterior interosseous nerve is vulnerable to injury, particularly following fracture or penetrating trauma. That's all for this review about the radial nerve. Hopefully that was helpful. This is the OrthoBullets podcast, a daily audio review session by OrthoBullets, the free learning and collaboration community for orthopedic surgery education. Keep in mind that these podcasts are designed to go along with the topics on orthobullets.com, and in fact, you can listen to these episodes right on the OrthoBullets website or app while going through the topic. If you've gotten any value from the OrthoBullets podcast so far, please consider leaving us a 5-star rating and writing us a review on Apple Podcasts. It will help us spread the word and increase our discoverability tremendously. Thanks so much, and we'll see you all tomorrow.